Welcome to the U-Turn Podcast. This is the place to connect to who you truly are. We're bringing PhDs, experts, and leaders to help you elevate your mindset in your work life and in your love life so that you can see things differently and truly love your world. I'm Ashley Stahl. I'm a career expert, author, and TEDx speechwriter and booker, and I'm excited to bring you in to this week's episode. U-turn friends, if you're just tuning in, it's Ashley Stahl here. And it's so rare for me to have a guest that I can't even introduce them because I have so much to say and ask. And Tatiana Ray, and if you've never been to TatianaRae.com, R-A-E, and we'll put it in the show notes, Tatiana with a Y. What a powerhouse. What wisdom, like old, deep, ancient wisdom, just like seeping through you all the time. And you're gifted, and your episode that I did. So those of you who don't know Tatiana, she was episode 76 about how to set yourself free. And it was one episode I left feeling like I never forgot that conversation, because it's like, there is some part of me as a podcast host that I try to have some control over the conversation, because I can't trust every guest to take me somewhere better than I have in mind. And it's hopefully not an ego thing as much as me just trying to be responsible to the audience.
Yes.
With you, Tatiana, I'm like, I don't know where this is going to go, but it's going to really help people. And that's just you. So if you've never seen her work, definitely also check out episode 76. It's one of my all-time U-turn podcast favorites. It's about how to set yourself free. This episode, we're just going to jam. And I want to talk to Tatiana about uncertainty. She has groups that she coaches. I have had so much uncertainty, so much success, so much failure, whatever that means in my life. And uncertainty has been this thing that has been so hard to regulate myself around, especially when it comes to love, like picking a partner. That's been where it's haunted me the most. So if you want mentorship, check her out. I'm going to post everything in the notes. But Tatiana, thank you for coming back.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm excited.
Yeah.
I love going with you because we just go.
Yeah. Well, I feel like you have your group, Delphine. Usually there's how many people in your group that you run?
In the group, now I used to have whoever wanted to join and we would work together, but now I just have it's individual Delphine.
Beautiful. Okay.
Because we do such deep work.
Yeah.
That I discovered in the long run, and everybody needs their own way to be worked with.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody needs their own approach.
Yeah.
And I did have an incident where one of the ladies was very happy with the work, but she said, how come you're so much easier on Sally Sue?
Mm.
And it was like, no, I'm not easier on her.
Mm-hmm.
She's really hard on herself.
And also,
I'm taking.
Some don't need that also. Some clients, you're serving them by being harder on them. And I think there's some mastery in how you mentor and guide. Where do you begin with someone who's listening, who's like me, for example, right now? I look at my life, not the guy I was dating when I first met you. That guy was never going to be my husband. But I feel like I probably almost could have married three people. And I chose not to. It was really a conscious choice because they were all great people in their own right. One wasn't a great romantic partner, in my opinion, for me. Mm-hmm. But I almost think for anyone, he was a little more self-focused. I guess maybe he's great for someone who's other-focused, you know? And then another partner worked a lot, didn't really have time, but wanted to get married. Another partner was the sweetest guy ever, but I felt like I was running
stronger.
Energy. I was stronger. And I'm in this space now where I'm really experiencing beautiful men coming into my life. And they feel like they're on the level of what I'm wanting for myself. And the uncertainty of like, how do we choose anything in this world when everything's changing all the time?
That's the beauty. That's you want that shift. You want that change. I mean, if we didn't change, we wouldn't get born. We'd stay, we'd remain a zygote when the sperm hits the egg. That's not even an infant yet, you know, it's a zygote until the cells divide to a certain stage, you know. So no, life is change. But it's evolution. I prefer the word evolution. Mm. I tell my clients when I'm speaking, even if we speak about God, the word God works for me.
Mm-hmm.
If it doesn't work for you, what works for you? What energy, what little pocket of energy works for you? Universe, goddess, grandfather. I have a lot of people like spirit.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. For me, I can even use the word Joe.
Mm-hmm.
I like to see God as Joe. He's got his little baseball cap on backwards, you know, and he's got these little, and he's got a conveyor belt, and everybody's wishes get made. Whatever you want, you get it, you know.
We live in this like human world where there's these commitments made, whether it's to like an education, it's 4 years of your life. And I guess anyone could argue nothing's really a waste of time, but people can really feel that, right? Like, how do I take the shortcut and spare myself the
what I discovered, I was married 21 years to one man. I was unmarried for 17 years while I reared my children. And then I've now been with this husband for 15 years.
Mm.
This husband is exactly like me, but he's a man.
Mm. I believe in opposites attract.
Oh, they attract all right. That's why.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, they attract. But that's why. Oh, I'm really quiet, so I'm gonna pick a chatterbox, or I'm a chatterbox, so I'm gonna pick somebody that's quiet. You know, no, Darius is exactly like me. He's exactly like me. He's passionate. He loves philosophy, and well, not even philosophy. I don't like that word, but just thinking out loud. He has a fast temper that could be a deal breaker, but it's every once in a while, so I think it's funny.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what he gets angry at. We're alike. And I discovered, for me at least, you don't want to choose someone that's not like you.
Mm.
In other words, Ashley, if I was going to be a man for you, I would have to be extremely intelligent. Mm. I would have to have a very flexible attitude, but brain.
Mm-hmm.
But you can be super intelligent and still be like in one direction, mm-hmm. space, you know?
Yeah, totally.
You like rockets, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No, a man for you, if I was your man, I would be very, very intelligent. This intelligence would have a deep curiosity, deep, but a very sincere curiosity. Mm-hmm. It's not topical. Your curiosity is not topical. When you ask a question, you care, you want an answer.
Yeah.
So this man would have to really understand his intelligence, understand what he's curious about, understand his affinity for people.
Mm-hmm.
And yet he's in his own right, a very private person,
mm-hmm.
you know, very, very private man.
Mm-hmm.
So his love for you would be private.
Mm-hmm.
It would be something I would say that he wants to just own you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You need a man that's strong.
Mm-hmm.
You need a man and when I say strong.
Yeah, I was going to ask you what that means.
Yeah, this is difficult today because I know I went through this, so I can speak through this to this. When I was younger, I was conditioned that I'm going to be a strong woman and no man's going to own me and I'm going to go through life and I'm going to have my child and my husband and my business, which I did. But I was a very individualized individual within that marriage.
Right.
We never joined.
Mm, there's a lot of friends I have. I have so many questions for you. There's a lot of friends I have that some of them are super separated in their marriage and it works for them. Some mm-hmm. of them are super connected and it works for them. But sometimes I wonder, does it really work? Or do we just tell ourselves that maybe if something in between is true?
If you're really, I'm going to use the word happy, but mm-hmm. satiated. Mm-hmm. See, you want a relationship. When we're going to spend our time in a single and a monogamous relationship, and I'm using the word monogamy, mm-hmm. you know, if we're going to have a monogamous relationship, it gets better and better because I've always heard, oh, monogamy, oh my God, aren't you going to get bored? No, because after a while, the bullshit has to peel away. You begin to really understand and know each other. You know your quirks, you know your secrets, you know, your shames, all the little idiosyncrasies, all my little Mr. Potato Head pieces, as I used to call them, remember?
I love
and that. And so all these little Mr. Potato Head pieces get known. I know Darius's and he knows mine. What people do is they don't want to share them because they're going to be used against them. That's not a relationship.
Okay.
That's not a relationship. I know all of his dark secrets. I know where I could push. I know where he feels some shame. He knows where I feel my shame. He knows my tender places with my sons, for instance. But we would never use them against each other.
It's interesting because a lot of people are thinking about what they want, or a lot of people are thinking about what they don't want, right? I don't know what I want, but I don't want this, or all I'm looking for is this. But people aren't necessarily thinking about being with someone who can truly communicate with you, can truly see you. Do you think there's an amount of time for that? Because I think a lot of spiritual people sometimes will overvalue a connection and undervalue an actual relationship.
Yeah. Oh my God. Spiritual people don't look for a spiritual person. Mm. Don't get a spiritual person.
Mm.
No. Get someone who's here on earth.
Mm.
One of the things that my grandmother, but Miguel, also taught me is the more spiritual you get, the more grounded you get.
Wow.
Okay.
You know, I think I met someone that is all these things and I've been pretty blown away by him. And I feel like I'm in a lot of questions about what is love? What is choosing someone? How do you know it's love? Like I've only, you know, there's people that meet somebody and they say they knew right away. What are your thoughts on all of these things? Because some people listening right now, maybe they're in long marriages and they still don't know, is this the right person?
Yes, that's true. I had 21 years, but in those 21 years, I was miserable in a very quiet way.
Yeah. And that's what, who is that, Thoreau or Emerson? Most men are, you know, live lives of silent desperation.
Yes. So silent desperation. Mm-hmm. And what I feel people are unwilling to do is just accept what we're choosing to do that we know is unhealthy. That's the first step. And you're the one choosing it. I had a client, and this client was going out with a married person. And so I said, we need to talk about the fact that you're choosing to be with a married person. That's not why I'm here. That's not what we're talking about. I said, what you're asking me to work on, you want to be more self-expressed. You're not self-expressed in love because you're with a married person. This person belongs to someone else.
Mm-hmm.
Even if only through a paper.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so you are choosing someone that is not yours, that is safe. You need to say, why would I do this? No shame, no blame, but why would I do this? Audience, just listen to me. No shame, no blame, but just ask yourself, why would I choose this?
Well,
I stayed with my first husband because we started out, I was 21 when we got together, 21 years old, 42 when we divorced. Why did I stay? In the end, for money.
Wow. At least
security.
Yeah. So let's say somebody's listening right now and they're thinking to themselves, like, I'm in a thing that doesn't, I have a few friends that I love and they're not happy. And sometimes, you know, you can't put the pressure on your relationships with yourself or anyone to make you happy all the time. But I can just tell that there's a difference between the weather and the climate, right? Some couples have a lot of weather, but their general climate's pretty sunny. I feel like the climate of a couple relationships I've seen is like a lot of pain.
They're not being honest with what they require. I require, no shame, no blame, but I require an intense amount of interaction. Intense.
What does intense mean for you? Every day, all day?
Every day, every moment. I mean, I work out of my home. My husband works out of our home. His little office is right next door on this other side of this wall. You know, we wake up together. He goes to the gym and everything. I start my day. And then we both go in our offices. We're in this home And then we see each other, or maybe I'm in here all day, but we're in this home, and then we'll have lunch or we'll have dinner for sure. And then we're together at night and we'll read or we'll watch a movie, or, but we're in the home, and then we go to bed together in the home.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
For some people, though, that is too much. They want to leave the home, or they want to travel out, or they need physical space. For me time. You have to identify, what is me time for you, Ashley? Me time for me? We can be sitting on the couch and he's reading and I'm reading, and that's enough me time for me. Mm. Some people require distance, or what would you call that, Ashley? Like leaving the domicile.
Yeah, like living somewhere else almost.
No, I'm saying like me time, if you're in a coupledom, you need to go out with your girlfriends, or you need to take a walk by yourself, or you need to have a room in the home that's your room, you know, your little den, whatever. Okay. I don't need that. I don't need that.
Mm.
You need to identify, what do you need?
Yeah. You know, there's a few things that you're touching on that I just have so many more questions. Like, one of the things you just did for me is so amazing, and it's one of your superpowers. And I imagine that anyone listening would love to be able to do that for themselves. And it's, you were able to look at the cocktail of things that is me and respond with a cocktail of things that is someone else to make a better cocktail for everyone, right? Like, yes, you were able to say, Ashley is this. This is my experience of her. And, you know, I guess a lot of spiritual people would say, that's her to you, and her to me is this. And that makes sense. I'm a Gemini. I'm like, there's 20 me's. And thankfully, I've gone to enough therapy where it's not like the Nightmare Before Christmas where I'm two-faced. It's mostly just multifaceted. I've therapized myself into being multifaceted, thankfully. But I feel like that's really potent what you did, to be able to look at me and say, this is the kind of partner you need. And I think that people need that for friendship too. I've had a lot of friends that struggle with friendship, and they're like, this person, I really like her, and she's doing this, and it really hurts me. So for example, I have a new friend right now. I like her a lot, but I don't have capacity to see her all the time because I see my mom once a week, and that makes me really happy. All
who
these other things.
You have to see her. Who laid down the rule that you have to see her every week?
There's no rule, but she follows up after we see each other saying, like, when am I seeing you this week?
Oh,
so I'm like, oh, I really like her. It's not that I don't want to see her. It's just the way my life is built right now. I'm really happy. And the capacity I have for somebody like her, who I really like, is probably once every 3-4 weeks. I would love to grab a bite with her. Love it. And if I have more space, I would probably love to see more of her. I just don't have it. So I feel like the same way you looked at me and kind of described a partner, which I literally am seeing someone that is all of those things. How would you advise somebody, or do you think this is just your superpower to start?
Your kind of friend is like our friendship.
Yeah.
your true kind of friend. You're my kind of friend, and I'm your kind of friend.
Yeah.
Okay.
Time passes, and it's a big yes.
Uh-huh. We don't talk all the time. I hadn't heard from you, and I don't know how long. And yet when we see each other, we just adore each other. We love each other. We're excited. We want to connect.
Yeah.
And it's intense. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's intense. Your friendships are intense. My friendships are intense in that moment. But that doesn't mean to me that I'm going to see you again.
Right. Right. So you have so much clarity on yourself. And I know that that's like a superpower, because people who don't know themselves say yes to things that are no's and no's to things that are yes. And then they're caught in a clusterfuck jungle of no's and yeses gone wrong. And then they got to back up and back forward and all the left, right, and center things to fix it. And then a lot of your life is spent fixing things, which is not always the most fulfilling. You know, people talk about lessons and mistakes, and there is some art and beauty and lessons and wisdom, but there's also a lot of pain that can come with that. So how do we help people get to know themselves so that they can speak as clearly as you do about, this is Tatiana, this is me, this is Ashley? And, you know, then there's a lot of people that would argue with you and be like, but who we are is multifaceted and changing. So how can you speak in such absolutes? But I've always felt like you've got an accurate read on me. Everything you've said has felt so true.
What we're looking at is there's just this big fat lie out there right now. There's this big fat lie, and a lot of it is just domestication. In other words, your little friend that wants to see you so much. Does she really want to see you that much? Does she need to see you that much? So does she want to see you that much? Does she need to see you that much? Has she been taught that friendship, true friends, means you see each other that much?
Mm.
In other words, what angle is she coming from?
Mm.
What's natural? When we got domesticated, our timing, our natural timing was forfeited.
Mm-hmm.
Forfeited. Do I know how to be on time? I run by a calendar, okay, because of my business. I run by a calendar. You run by a calendar. Mm-hmm. When I'm on my own, I'm a lollygagger.
Mm,
I am a lollygagger. I am. Do I know how to be on time? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm disciplined. I know how to. I honor other people's time.
Mm-hmm.
But when I'm on my own time, my natural timing is I am a lollygagger.
Mm-hmm.
People get off the airplane and, man, unless they have a connection, of course, but they get off and, man, they got to get to the train and then they got to get, you know, me, I get off the plane. When we're off, I stroll down the jetway. I stroll to wherever my bag is, you know.
Okay.
My grandma used to say, everybody's in the hurry till the devil comes for you.
I feel like, I don't know if it was you that said this, but somebody once said to me the opposite of luxury is being in a rush.
Yes. Yes.
You
You remember good.
Yeah. You say some really potent.
This man that you're interested in, and then he's interested in you right now. Are you going to let him be a man? And see, this is where we get into so much trouble right now, because we're saying, if I let him be a man, then I'm not an individual woman. I'm right. Not a strong woman. No. Darius makes all the plans. Mm-hmm. And if there's something I don't like, my no means no.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And it's also like we're living in a time where there's so much around gender identity. So I guess the question is, for anyone listening, what does it mean for you? Like, how do you want these energies to look in your relationship? What I want to ask you about as it relates to domestication with all this is the rules, right? That is domestication. We live in a world where there's rules. For example, I'm seeing someone new. My truth about him, Tatiana, is he's blowing me away. He's blowing me away. Every time I see him, my nervous system feels so regulated around him. He feels so peaceful for me. He's such easy energy. I'm so in admiration of how smart he is. I love his company. The domestication in me is this love, is this lust? Let me leave my heart and get into my head, because I need both of them to kind of function in this human world. You know, should I play by the rules, or should he sleep over this soon? Should I stop seeing other people, or should I wait for him? It's so many rules.
When you go by what's natural for you, like for me, you know, I'm honest with what I've done. Having sex the first night, uh-huh, for me is a requisite.
Mm.
Okay? My natural energy.
That's amazing.
My natural energy. Because I birthed three sons, okay? Mm-hmm. And I have a brother, and I have nephews and cousins, male. I'm very sensitive to the male in our domestication. Having to, what would we call it, Ashley? They have to make the moves, you know, yeah, in our, yeah, domestication. I'm very sensitive. So when a man would ask me out, unless I knew it was an absolute no, I would always say yes.
Mm-hmm.
I would always say yes.
Wow.
Always. Because he had to get up the nerve to ask me. So I honored that.
Mm.
But that didn't mean that I wanted it to be anything other than my honoring that he asked me out. Mm. And I would be very honest with the men about that. Mm. I had one man that kept asking me out, and I said, look, when people get together and a man likes a woman, sex, there's sex that's at the end of the tunnel.
Okay? I love that. Maybe it's at the beginning of your tunnel.
It's my tunnel, yes. But that's my point. But that's exactly my point. Because, and I said to him, I don't want to have sex with you. I'm not, I'm not attracted to you that way. You're a beautiful man. You're a wonderful human, but I am not attracted to you in a way that I want to have sex. I don't see. And if I can't have sex with you, then there's not going to be a connection for me.
Right.
Then there's not, it's not going to be there. There isn't going to be an opportunity to evolve the relationship. So my timing, my natural is backwards according to domestication. Okay. I see a man, I know whether or not I want to know him, and I know whether or not I want to get naked with him.
Yeah.
Okay. And if I don't want to get naked with him, then I don't want to know him.
Yeah. You're either down to fuck or not. Mm-hmm. I love that for you.
And that sexual encounter for me, though, tells me a lot about him.
When you have sex. So tell me a little bit about this. This is so interesting because I have so much around this. I actually have an identity talking about Mr. and Miss Potato Head. One of my Miss Potato Heads is I've never had a one night stand. I do have paranoia about STDs. I don't know why. I just feel like
in today's world, I can see that.
Yeah, it's wild. So I think about that. I think about also, I don't really enjoy sex if I don't have an emotional bond.
And yes.
It takes me a while. Yes.
But that's why when I see a man, I know whether or not I want to create that emotional bond. I have to be sexually attracted.
Right.
I've dated men that were geniuses. I'm thinking about this one man. He was a NASA scientist, mm-hmm. and he had degrees of the doctorates. Okay. Yes.
Doctorates.
and he was wonderful. And we used to like to talk because he was so logical and he liked to hear what I had to say about God. And I liked to hear how he didn't believe in God, but what all he was doing to me was just emulating God,
proving
God, going to the moon and using his brains and working with all these other men and making these apparatuses. What is that? That's creation.
Right.
You know, it was beautiful to talk to him.
Yeah.
I wouldn't let him touch me. And I was very clear with him. We're going to be friends. I love your brain. That's it.
Mm.
I'm attracted to your brain.
Mm.
Don't lie to yourself about what you're attracted to. If you're afraid of the STDs, if you're not comfortable with the one night stands because of what? Because you're not going to be a good girl? Or because maybe he won't call you the next night?
Yeah, I don't want to put myself in a position. I know myself. I know my attachment. And I feel like something about the physical takes it to a new level and adds a level that a layer that I don't want until I'm sure about the person. And then Absolutely. There comes the idea of how do you be sure about anything? Because we live in such a world, like people are in their career right now. And I hear this all the time. They're like, I hate my job and I'll help them. And I haven't done career coaching in a while because I don't know if I even mentioned to you, but I've been writing TED Talks and booking people on stage for it.
Oh my God.
And so I have a career coach on my team now who's amazing, but it's interesting because I used to see that be the big fear. People like, I put all these years into this and I don't want to go try that. I'm like, yeah, I get it. Nobody wants their life to look like this graveyard of trial and error. Got it. But
why not?
Okay. So talk to me about that because there, to me, I do think life has a cost of admission, not in a sad, dark way, but in a, you got to experiment to sometimes get your answers. And nobody wants to experiment. They want to move through life answer to answer to answer instead of question, answer, question, answer.
What is a train wreck? A train wreck is decided by domestication.
Mm-hmm.
It's decided by domestication. Mm-hmm. I'll be 73 in January.
Yep. 73-year-old.
And I am. I'm beautiful. Look at this. I grew it out. Yeah. Look at this.
I know. It's actually stunning.
It's beautiful. You know, I was a little bit disappointed because I thought maybe it'd be whiter, but it's pretty good.
Yeah.
But what we're looking at is I got a lot of women writing me about how dare you say we don't gain weight? How dare you say the body retain? No, my joints work. Okay. My vagina is wet. I have orgasms.
Yes.
I have sexual desire. I have a lot of sex.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's the individual. What's natural for you? What is natural for you? What's your natural timing? That's what you're taking back. when I work with people, this is what we work on, because your lives are working. You have a roof, you have food on the table, you have a car and gasoline, and your insurances are taken care of. According to domestication, your life is working.
Well, okay. So now I want to challenge it for the people listening, because we are told to take it slow with certain things, right? That's the domestication. If you feel a connection with somebody, take it slow, because it takes time to get to know someone. I've had things go fast, whether it's in a friendship that I'm like, wow, I love this person, or a romantic relationship, or a business, all the ships, you know, floating around. And sometimes it's too fast and there's a wisdom. So what I want to understand is, when are we in what's natural, and when do we have work to do on ourselves? Like, how do we know, like, this pace? Oh, I want to move. For example, this guy, I'm so blown away. I just want to be around him. He feels so good, but I have wisdom, and my wisdom tells me it takes time to get to know someone. I could see
all you're going to know.
Yeah.
The time that we're getting to know who you're getting to know, whom you're getting to know, is their persona. It's their Mr. Potato Head piece.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So who you're getting to know is his persona. It's what he's created as himself. That you're going to find immediate. The time is really getting to understand and know and be allowed into the darker recesses, and I don't mean this in a negative way, but where we keep our secrets, where we keep our pain, where we keep certain memories that we don't share.
Right.
You know, like, people don't know I'm a lollygagger. It's not a shame thing, but I mean, people don't, they don't have the opportunity to know me, because I'm usually in a business mode, you know, so they, you guys didn't get to know I'm a lollygagger.
Yeah.
You guys don't get to know that I try something. I'm not afraid to try. That's just my thing.
Yep.
I'm not afraid to try and go, oops.
Yeah.
I have bought ice cream. The only ice cream I will eat is chocolate chip mint. Okay. And people are going to gag from Baskin Robbins. I know it's all chemicals. Baskin Robbins chocolate chip mint. I have tried other ice creams. I take a lick or I take a bite and I throw it away and I go get my green one. I'm not afraid to try. With this man, you're feeling, your body is telling you he feels good. I want to cozy up to him. Yeah. I want to crawl into his skin. It's not about sex.
No.
It's about getting close to him, as close as possible.
Mm-hmm.
You see, we turn everything into a box, a category. That means I have to be his girlfriend. And then after I've been his girlfriend for a certain amount of time, then I've got to be his fiance. And after I've been his fiance for a certain amount of time, I got to be his wife. Why?
So talk to me about that, because that's really hard. And before we even get into that, of I need to be this and then that, and this is the pace and these are the rules. You know, we talk also, I feel like a lot of people, you're talking about the Mr. Potato Head and how we don't always share our most inner things, our secrets or whatever. I've actually found both. I've found that some people I date, it's all Mr. Potato Head, Mrs. Potato Head, they Potato Head, I guess with the gender things, potato they. And then there's also people who are the opposite. They overshare their secrets. They overgive, in my opinion, vulnerability. There's so much vulnerability, but the relationship hasn't been developed to actually hold it. They're sharing with someone that I'm like, that person maybe doesn't deserve this from you, because you don't know if it's a safe space then.
But wouldn't that be a defensive mechanism on their part, where they dump all this stuff? To see whether or not you're capable of being with it. And it depends on what they're sharing with me. I'm going to go, no.
Yeah.
You know, you're a hot mess.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to say, oh, wow, that's interesting, that whatever you're sharing is interesting enough to me where I'm curious enough to stay around.
Mm.
So when people overshare, I want to hear how much of it is true.
Mm-hmm.
How much of it is real?
What they're oversharing.
Uh-huh.
I get that. I guess
they can say they're overshare. They can all say, I'm so authentic. I hate that word, authentic. Let's try sincere. Take away authentic. I don't want authentic. I want sincere. That's why I love being with you. You're not authentic. You're sincere. You're sincere. Even the word honest, when we say, let me be honest with you. What's been going on prior to that?
Right. to be honest, what have you been? It's interesting you talk about sincere, and it brings me back to this idea of people don't know themselves. It brings me back to this idea. I mean, a lot of people don't know much beyond their own Mr. or Mrs. Potato Head Potato Day. You know, note to the Mr. Potato Head corporate, I've got a new doll for you. But you talked about the pace, and I think this is really interesting because it exists in career. You know, your first step is to be the assistant, and then you climb the ladder, and then you get paid more, and then you get the corner office, whatever the system is.
But that's all established as a system.
Right.
That is an established system. So if you are going to go into an established system, then you are going to play by their rules. One thing that Miguel always said to me, and I thought, oh, no one has ever said it that way. He says, Tatiana, we live in a domesticated world. There are stop signs and stop lights and crosswalks, and we have to honor that.
Yeah.
But when we don't have to honor it, we don't. Personal freedom means I have my timing. I have my timing. When I see a man, when I saw Darius, I fell in love. What did that mean? What I said to you, I wanted to crawl into his skin. I wanted to see how he sees me. What does he see? What does he feel? I wanted to know him from the inside out.
Yeah, that's how I feel.
I needed to. The sex kind of helped that. Rubbing up against his body, feeling him, seeing him, helped me understand him.
Mm-hmm.
And how he sees, in other words, how responsive is he? How distant is he when we're making love? You know, how passionate is he? How interested is he in me? How interested is he in him? Also, when you choose a man, we're talking about men right now, and we're talking heterosexual, I suppose. But I guess if you're gay, you can
pick a man.
You can adapt it. But if you're going to be honest with yourself, you have to say, Ashley, you're a strong person. Mm-hmm. Woman or man, you're a strong person. What does strong mean? It means that you have an intellect that's able to stay very, very present and continue to be curious and continue to ask questions. To me, that's strength. Mm-hmm. You don't leave when something gets a little tough.
Yeah, I know.
You get more curious.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's, to me, that's strength. Also, when you're in situations, when you are personally in situations, I've seen you in some situations that are difficult social situations.
Yeah.
You stay right there. You make fun of yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. You know, I feel like you make so many people feel understood because you're so gifted as a listener and as a witness, I would say, like a spiritual witness of sorts. But we talked about pace a little bit, and I find this really interesting as it relates to love because, you know, I'm 36 and I guess according to society, I'm like a geriatric pregnancy. Talk about words being capsules. Holy fuck. Geriatric over age 35. That's so wild to me. You know, I'm having a lot of friends who are having pregnancy issues, fertility, and they're rushing down the aisle. They are convincing or pushing, and they're wanting to hit these goals of these paces. And on one hand, it's valid for us to all have goals, right? Like you can want what you want. And so there's
something, a goal or a desire.
Okay, that's an interesting term. I think some people it's a goal, like I just need to check this box. Some people it's a deep desire. I deeply yearn to have a family. I deeply want to have kids. And I've been with this person for 3 years or 5 years, and they haven't asked me yet. And I'm threatening, or I'm ultimatuming, or I'm pushing. What is your feedback around someone who is in a situation, whether it's romantic or career or friendship, where they're not getting what they desire? And they don't want to leave because they love so many things about it, whether it's their career or otherwise. How do
you? It's what do you love about it? When I was with Robert, first I wouldn't leave because he's so handsome. I'll never find anybody like him. Then it was, if I can't have him, nobody else will have him. Then, yes, and this is, and then it was, we're doing so well together, building a life. Okay. There was always a reason to stay.
Mm-hmm.
Never had anything to do with love.
What does love even mean? Is love
to me? I am loved by Darius. I am cherished. He is devoted and vice versa. Love to me simply means that you care about that person's evolution. You care. There is since you care that they are devoting themselves to what makes them prosper. You care that every day they, whether they're seeing or feeling difficulties, you care. You don't have to fix it, but you care. Okay. You and I have a love relationship because when we come together, we care. And what we're sharing matters. We don't see each other for 1, 2, 3 years. And we don't feel, and we don't feel abandoned. I guess I'll use that word. You have to begin to be honest with yourself, sincere with yourself. What are your needs? You need a strong man. Are you going to let him be the man? What does that mean? That means that there's a certain amount of masculine. He has testosterone. There are many times when Darius will say, put that away. And I'll go, please. He'll look at me like, yeah, please. Okay. He's not being rude. It's a testosterone that is focused and goal oriented, like you said. Okay. So are you going to allow your man to be in his testosterone? Are you then going to allow yourself to be in your estrogen? And I know this goes against everything they're talking about out there. I know it, but I've been through it. I've lived it. I was a man woman in my first marriage. It didn't work. It didn't work. And it wasn't because I was strong. It was because I was in competition with my husband.
Wow.
Okay. I'm not in competition with this one.
How do you, when you talk about desires and you talk about love and like staying for love or choosing love, I want to talk a little bit about what does love mean? And also just this idea, like nothing is all bad or all good. So how do we look at our desires and make a decision of when to stay or walk away from something out of respect and actual love for everyone involved? How do we look at that?
It's always out of respect for yourself first. I learned this the hard way because in the first marriage, there was always a reason to stay. And they were always healthy reasons. But they had nothing to do with my self-respect or even respecting him. How am I respecting Robert by staying for the money? You know, how am I respecting Robert because of the people that we were able to fraternize with? How's that respecting him? Okay. So you must, I say to the audience, what lie are you telling yourself? Ashley, what lie are you telling yourself that you cannot be in love, that you cannot be? What kind of lover are you, Ashley?
As far as like how I show up?
Yeah. What kind of, are you super passionate? Yes, you are, but in a very quiet way. Okay. You're a very quiet passion when it comes to the individual. When it comes to you and your honey babe.
Yeah.
It's a very quiet passion. It's a very private passion. You want to be cherished.
I do.
Okay. What does to be cherished means? It means to be held delicately. It means to be seen as a woman. It means that when you're on your period, he's aware of it. He says, how are you doing? Are you okay? Do you need this? Do you need that? Are you having chocolate cravings? He's aware of you as a woman. Okay. Cherished means that he goes to the market and he brings home apples. Let's say you love apples and he found these apples that you love. Okay. He's thinking about you.
Yeah. I was just telling somebody I like to be held in someone's awareness.
To be held. Are you a very physical person or not? Mm-hmm. I would say you're in between. You're not one of these people that just crush me all night.
Mm-hmm.
You're not also the people that don't, you know, a hug is fine and I'm good for the day.
Exactly.
Okay. You're in exactly. between. But you do need a man then that is going to know that you actually breathe in his essence when he holds you. He's not just holding you. It's like he's the prongs of the ring and you're the jewel.
That's beautiful. I feel like I'm still like, I feel like somebody like you has to have such an interesting perspective on what it means to love someone, whether it's a friend or a partner or anyone, like what is love? And I
you
think
you and I don't talk, but if yeah. you call me one night and you say I'm stuck in Buffalo and I lost my credit. Okay. What can I do? What can I do? I'm that kind of friend. I can be, let's say you live in Buffalo and I fly into Buffalo and I have a 10-hour layover. I'm not going to call you. I'm not going to call you. But when I'm back home in California and you need something, I will do whatever I can to assist you. That's how I love.
Mm-hmm.
When you need me to the best of my ability, I will be there. Otherwise, I'm not going to call you. You invite me to your birthday party, I'll come.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to get offended if you don't invite me.
I love that about you. You talked about something. When you're saying what is love, it's what is love to you. Love to you is showing up. It's not about frequency of contact, which is interesting because with your partner, it is about the frequency. You want to see each other frequently. You want to be with them frequently. But in your friendships, it's more about just deep connection.
It's about sincerity with me.
Sincerity. Yes.
I love people that are sincere. You are sincere.
Thank you. That means a lot. I feel like a lot of people listening that, you know, value this show, they probably have some of that too, because there's a lot of conversations on here that are, I listen to my own show sometimes when I try to bring people on that I admire, and sometimes I need their wisdom too. And I think a lot of people, they live in denial of what's in front of them or who they are. They don't see themselves. If somebody's listening to this conversation and, you know, they turn off their earbuds and they go into their day, these moments are going to pop up where they could choose denial or they could choose to see it, or maybe they don't even have the capacity in themselves to see something in front of them. Oddly enough, this is interesting. Like I have a guy friend and he's an amazing guy. He's always wanted to find his life partner and have kids. That's such a deep desire for him. He has been dating and dating and dating. I met this girl the other day and I've never thought of him for someone, not because he's not great. I just don't hang out with girls that are like a single or a fit for him. And I'm like, do you know? And I said his name. She says, oh my gosh, I think he's so handsome. I'm like, oh, he's so ready for kids. He's so ready for this. And this woman was beautiful and like aware and so many things he needs. And I sent him a picture of her and said, this girl's beautiful. And I don't know why I immediately thought of you for her. And she's really into you. And he was like, oh, I don't feel a connection. He just saw the picture. So I know that there's something natural that's happening. And then there's also our wounds. Like, how do we separate who we are from what our limits are, where we're in pain, where we're in denial? Like, how do we even begin to parse that out?
First of all, you can't be in denial. There's no such thing as denial. There's ignorance, ignoring. Ignoring. In order to be in denial, you have to know what it is you don't want to know. In order for me to be, oh, I'm in denial that my husband's going out on me. Where did that thought even come from? Where did that suspicion arise? Why is I'm even saying this? Okay. So there's no such thing as denial. It's I don't want to know. I'm going to be in ignorance. I am choosing ignorance. I'm ignoring. So we ignore. If I was to truly speak to everyone out there, we don't realize, and it's such a cliche, what yes, I'm on Instagram and Facebook and things, and but it's a travesty because it scares me to death that I'm going to be lumped in with all of these new age gurus. It scares me. It scares me. And yet I do what I need to do. You see, we are so special. Each one of us has this capacity to be present and to care, but we all care in a different way. I care deeply, but I care honestly. That's not everybody's cup of tea. And I understand that. I am not afraid to not be liked. What's more important to me is that I am able to express myself.
Okay, so that comes down to what you value, right? And some people don't even know what they value, or maybe they don't notice the thing, so they can't bring more of it into their life sometimes because they don't even notice that they want it.
So when you're talking about love and this young man, what's important to you in love? For me, when it's a private love matter, what's important to me is sincerity, passion, and willing to dive deep. No insults allowed. There's no insults allowed. Darius and I, once in a while, he'll go, ouch, and once in a while, I'll go, ouch, you know. But I had this dress on one time. I like to tell this story, and I'm twirling around going, oh, I look so cute. How do you think? And he's in the bed, and he looks at me, and he goes, nah, your stomach sticks out. And I went, oh, but I asked. And I listened, I took it off. You want the reason I love him is because I will always receive sincere comments. Honesty. I want honesty. And not everybody wants honesty. So for the clients out there today, what are you hiding from? What honesty? In other words, with you and the approaching love affair. What is it about your inability to trust your timing? You keep switching to the timing of domestication.
Right.
You're trying not to, but you do. You keep switching to what's the timing?
Yeah, okay. It's more like, can I trust this person to hold this? Because my traumas and pains, or whatever we want to call them, is having men who I love and they love me, but when the honeymoon chemicals die out and we get into normal everyday life, they actually don't want to have the capacity to hold and prioritize a relationship in the way I do. And it's beautiful. My last partner, who is such an amazing guy, he sent me an email saying something to the extent, because I ended up ending the relationship because I just knew he didn't have the capacity to spiritually connect with me the way I wanted to, amongst some other things. And I knew he would eventually get there if he wanted to, because he's a very smart guy. But he wrote me this message saying, Ashley, I've never been so loved. You have this big pouring love that you just pour onto what you do, who you do it with, the people you care about. And I wanted to return that to you. And I didn't even know how to begin doing that, like feeling that kind of love.
There you go. So they have to be, whoever's going to love you is going to have to understand that when you are a one-on-one, there is a passion there. There is a passion, and you are, it's unabated. You just open the floodgates of interest and curiosity and care. Can they receive it? And if they're not quite able, but are they willing to begin to evolve into that? Do they have the capacity, the desire, the curiosity within themselves to bloom?
Right.
Or is it something that they hit? They hit a wall that is real for them. No, that's a little too much. That's more than what I want. Darius writes me poetry and he says, I want to bite your heart and I want the blood to drip down my chest. I want to feel a part of you pulsing in my mouth. Okay.
Wow.
I love that. I go, oh, he does love me.
Okay, so then I want to ask about the idea of cannot versus choose not. Because I think a lot of people would look at an email like that from your ex-partner and say, he could not love me the way I needed to be loved. And then other people respond and say, he chose not to. He could have chosen to show up for you. He could have chosen.
It's both. He chose to not because in that moment he couldn't.
Right.
He chose to not because in that moment he could not. He could not envision himself.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay. When you love, because we're talking about you in a private relationship, when you're in a private relationship, your whole heart, you care.
Yeah.
And you care deeply.
Yes.
And this is something that people don't really feel from you for whatever reason. I don't know. I picked up on it immediately. You care deeply. When Sarah Pendrick needed a speaker and you got me in there, you know, yeah. It's you care. You care. Yeah. And so a man is going to have to be a type of human. Mm-hmm. That wants to care in return to that degree.
Mm.
If not, he is curious about the evolution from within to care to that degree.
Mm. You see. Well, so that's an interesting thing around growth that I think a lot of people may have to kind of sit with, is like someone being interested in something doesn't always equate to them being like capable of it or something. Like we all have our heads and our Mr. Potato heads. Yes.
That there's four trays. Remember, there's four trays. The first tray is these are pieces of self that I got from my nest and they don't work.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The second tray is these are pieces I get garnered in the nest and I need to adapt them.
And when you say nest, for anybody who forgets, that's just like your home.
Home. Mm-hmm. Our home. We're little birds. Mm-hmm. And they're taking all the psychological terms and made visceral terms. So mm-hmm. we all grew up in a little nest with whoever the mommy and daddy is, or mommies and daddies or grandpas and grandmas. Who knows? Maybe an aunt, mm-hmm. maybe adopted. Who knows? But those are the little birds that teach you what kind of twigs to make your nest out of and what kind of worms to eat if you eat worms.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So mm-hmm. the first pieces that don't work for you that you learned, not going to use them. Pieces that kind of work, but I need to adapt them more to my style. Third pieces are they work for me. They don't exist. And this is where you get to look at everything around you and say, I like that. I'm going to adopt that. That's evolution, is adopting and bringing it into yourself. Adopting. So what is it that this young man is asking of you? In other words, we're talking about him to you, but what about you to him? How are you?
This is why things take time. This is why I'm saying to you, oh my God, my heart wants to be around him. But do I know that this person is going to be able to love me consistently over time? And so how do we do
question? The first question would be, how do you feel to you, Ashley, to him? How do you feel about my desire to always be with you?
Oh, Tatiana, I'm going to give that one a few dates, but I want to do that one. Holy
yes.
shit.
How do you feel about my desire to always be with you? How do you feel about my desire that I it's not about sex. It's about crawling into your body and looking out through your eyes, feeling what you feel, seeing how you see, experiencing the world through your psyche. How do you feel about that? Do you feel claustrophobic? Do you feel encroached upon? Is it very distasteful? Because that's how I love. That's how you love. The whole audience right now, all we're talking about in the end is how do you do what you do without the lies?
Not what is natural. Okay, a lot of people, I think it's so interesting, the oversharing, you were talking about how that's a defense. I think some people operate in this belief that if there's a problem, especially in the self-development world, like if they've done a lot of growth, they think they should communicate because it's prized to communicate versus to ghost each other. Or, and this is not just romantically, right? This is business deal, anything. But sometimes, and one of the things I learned from my last partner, who was such an amazing guy, was he would say, Ashley, you value connection and you register that as communicating. But sometimes you communicate and share something honestly with someone that can't hold it, and you actually create less connection. So it was a really beautiful share he made, and it's really forever shifted how I decide if I'm going to lean in and share. Do you have any thoughts on that?
I don't want to know those kind of people.
You only want to know those? Oh, you don't want to?
I don't want to know those kind of people.
I love that. I mean, they exist, and I guess I have a business and all these things that I'm committed to, but
when I'm in a business atmosphere, I am going to know what's appropriate to say, because business atmosphere is domesticated, patriarchal atmosphere. Okay. I'm not throwing shade on anybody. I'm just saying it's a domesticated world.
Right.
So I know what the rules are and I abide by them. Okay. But in my private life, I don't want to be around people that I have to be careful with their feelings.
Yeah.
Their feelings are their feelings, and I honor that. So they'll probably leave me before I leave them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, there's so much I could talk to you about. I'm going to have you back again.
When it comes to your lover boy, though,
yeah,
see, I call him your lover boy already, because you're in love with, you're captivated. What is love? To be captivated, to be mesmerized.
Yeah.
Hey, that's, to me, that's what love is. I'm mesmerized by certain things. I'm captivated by them. I want to dive into them.
Mm.
The ice cream I eat. Why do I like this ice cream and only that flavor? Because I love what it does to my sensorial being.
Oh my God, I love that you're equating captivation to Baskin Robbins mint chip. You're so amazing, Tatiana. You just are so good.
With this gentleman, it's like the questions, the first time Darius and I were having sex.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, how are you? Fine. We're making love. He's pretty quiet. Now, how are you? How is it? Good. A little bit more. And now, how is it? Good. I go, no more good. I need words. I need feedback. Very good. And that's our joke. That's our joke to this day.
So funny.
He was not private. He just was into this. I realize now he was into sensing. So what he did was good. It's good. It's good. Oh, okay. More words. It's very good.
Mm-hmm.
Me? Naturally, I'm very verbal. I share. I'm always sharing. And when we're making love, I am very, very verbal. You see, what is natural for you with this young man, what you're attracted to is real. What you want to know is, can this real be part of my real? You love in a way that is so delicious.
Thank you.
The sincerity you bring, the desire to copulate, and I don't mean sex, I mean this. Look, I like these little things they have now. But
yeah.
this thing, you love this thing, you know? So honor that's what you need. My first husband gave me everything. I had a huge house. We had a huge business. I had lots of money. I had a Newport Beach. It was beautiful. I had a beautiful life. But I had no connection, no cherishing, no sincerity. It was all material. I need affection. I'm not talking sex. I'm talking affection. I need intended affection, and a lot of it. What do you need? I say it's not so much the affection with you, but you need intended attention.
Mm-hmm.
Intended attention. Mm-hmm. No shame in that. There's no shame in that.
Mm. Mm.
That's what you require. It's like caviar. Do you eat caviar?
No, actually, I don't.
I don't either. And I don't care how much you paid for it or where it, what beluga it came from. I am not putting that in my mouth.
Mm.
It smells bad and it looks strange.
Yeah.
Okay. So if you and I won't put caviar in our mouth and it's this distinguished thing, why would we get involved with the person?
Mm-hmm. I think it's just, we don't want to be alone. It's hard. People struggle to be with themselves. What's your message for people who are struggling to be with themselves? I hope you don't say be with yourself, because nobody wants to hear it anymore.
No, you don't want to hear it, but I am going to say, you struggle to be with yourself because you haven't found the natural you. You don't like being with your artificial self. You don't like that artificial you. You don't like it. And you know damn what you do that's artificial. You know damn well. Be with yourself? No. But get to give yourself the journey, the adventure of what is real for you. What kind of sex do you like? Do you like sex that much? Maybe you don't like sex that much. So what? The patriarchy and all of this other pornography stuff going on doesn't work for you. Okay. Mm-hmm. Clothing. Are you really into, obviously I love getting dressed, obviously. Okay. But that works for me. Who does it not work for? Reading books. I have this thing that I actually laminated. I love it. It says, they have to read books. If they don't read books, don't fuck them. But for me, that worked because I'm a reader. I'm a reader. And I chuckled at that. I thought it was lovely. If they don't read books, don't fuck them, you know?
Yeah.
What do you need? So for those that are lonely, you're lonely because you haven't been meeting your needs. I'm not saying be with yourself. I hated seeing that. Or it's going to be okay. Yeah, fuck you. Mm-hmm. Okay. No. What do you need? What do you need and how do you need it? Go throughout your day. What do I need and how do I need it? This is what I need. This is how I need it. Begin to see, do you even know what you need? Do you know what you need and how you need it? Because you've allowed yourself. When I got divorced, my husband left me for another woman. I was 42. She was 27. Made perfect sense to me. Made perfect sense. She's 27, never been married, never had children. Her body is intact. Made perfect sense. He was 47 and she was 27. Made perfect sense. I was not upset about that. I was upset because I sat back and looked at what I'd done. And I said, holy shit. I stayed in this for extraneous reasons, but never for me. I never stayed in these 21 years for me.
Wow. Wow. Oof. Tatiana, this was so good. Where do we even begin? Thank you so much for this. Where is the best place for people to reach out for your mentorship? I know that for me, your mentorship was supreme. And I still think of things you've said, and it's very special to me. So I think some people who want a nice little kick in the pants, because you're definitely not like a soft hug as a mentor.
I'm not a soft hug, but I'm this wonderful person that is not going to put up with your bullshit.
Exactly.
Oh, please. You're really intelligent. Why are you playing stupid?
Yeah.
You're really grounded. Why are you playing flighty?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's be you. I don't know who that is. Yes, you do.
Yeah.
That's why you have all these different masks. Otherwise, you couldn't have masks. You couldn't have masks if you didn't need a mask.
Right.
It's what we talked about. Denial. There's no denial. You know what you need to not know.
Yep. Yep.
So call me. And no, I'm not afraid that you call me.
You're so not a millennial or Gen Z with the phone. I love that.
714-615-1813.
Okay. One more time, your phone number for people.
714-615-1813. But if I have to do it like you guys do it now, then I say the 1-800-RENT-A-GODDESS.
Is that your thing? Is that real?
Yeah. on Instagram, I'm 1-800 rent a goddess.
I love that so much. I can't even deal. Thank you again for coming back on.
Thank you. I love you.
Love you too, Tatiana.
And I'm not going to say good luck. I'm going to say, speak to him. Share this beautiful recognition that you're having. You're recognizing something in this person. He happens to be male, but you're recognizing something that is drawing you.
Yeah.
Work with that. Don't put it in a box.
Yep.
Work with being, you know, do you mind if I crawl into your skin for a while?
I actually told him this morning I wanted to sew myself to him like Hannibal Lecter and show up on a Zoom call. So he's already heard the skin from me. Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah.
Do you see? There we go. I cannot be with a person unless I have a lot of extremes. I love you because you and I are extreme. I know this about myself. I know this about, I like extremes. I want extremes.
My friends, I hope that this inspires you to own what's natural for you, to start getting curious about, is this a defense mechanism? Am I being this because I'm scared, or is this just natural for me? And I want to start owning that. And I think that sort of vulnerability, because it is vulnerable not to be domesticated. We get these boxes to check and it feels really safe to hide beneath what everybody else thinks we should be doing. But I just want to encourage you to use this conversation to really ask yourself, what feels most natural for me? What am I drawn to? What do I desire? Not just your goals, but your actual desires. Thank you so much, Tatiana.
I love you. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you so much for tuning into the U-Turn Podcast. And thank you again so much for our sponsors. We are here because of you. And to our listeners, thank you for checking out our sponsors. We always pick people and brands that we trust and we believe in. And just for listening to the show, writing your reviews on the Apple app, and just being willing to make your own U-turns. We'll see you next week.
This episode is brought to you by the Yap Media Podcast Network. I'm Hala Taha, CEO of the award-winning digital media empire, Yap Media, and host of Yap Young and Profiting Podcast, a number one entrepreneurship and self-improvement podcast where you can listen, learn, and profit. On Young and Profiting Podcast, I interview the brightest minds in the world, and I turn their wisdom into actionable advice that you can use in your daily life. Each week, we dive into a new topic like the art of side hustles, how to level up your influence and persuasion, and goal setting. I interview A-list guests on Young and Profiting. I've got the best guests, like the world's number one negotiation expert, Chris Voss, Shark Damon John, serial entrepreneurs Alex and Layla Hormozi, and even movie stars like Matthew McConaughey. There's absolutely no fluff on my podcast, and that's on purpose. Every episode is jam-packed with advice that's going to push your life forward. I do my research, I get straight to the point, and I take things really seriously, which is why I'm known as the podcast princess and how I became one of the top podcasters in the world in less than 5 years. Young and Profiting Podcast is for all ages. Don't let the name fool you. It's an advanced show. As long as you want to learn and level up, you will be forever young. So join podcast royalty and subscribe to Young and Profiting Podcast, or Yap, like it's often called by my Yap fam, on Apple, Spotify, CastBox, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.